Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Byron. Meseches Yoma has been dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Robert Goodman. Le'iloi Nishmas Chaim Menachem Aaron Ben Yecheskel Nechemya.
Yuma Daf Yud Dalet. The Gemara at the top of the Omud brings Shitas Rava, who explained the Machlikis Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa. The Tanakama said, Koin Godol Makriv Oinen Ve'enei Oichel. And Rabbi Yehuda Aymer Kol Hayoim. Rava explained, Kol Hayoim means the Kohen Gadol cannot do Avodah the entire day when he's in Einin, even though Midai Raisa, the Kohen Gadol can do Avodah if he's in Einin. Because of Gzeir Derabonon, he might come to eat from the Kodshim, and even the Kohen Gadol is Osir Ba'achilas Kodshim, the day of Aninas. On this, Rav Adar Bar Ava asks from our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah holds, Af Isha Acheres Maskinen Loi Shemo Tomos Ishtoi. We see from that that even if the Kohen Gadol's wife will die, the Kohen Gadol will nevertheless do the Avodah. Why don't we say the same Gzeirah? He should not be able to do the Avodah while he's in Einin for his wife. He might come to eat from the Kodshim. On that, the Gemara answers, since everyone else is also fasting this day of Yom Kippur, then there's no chashash that the Kohen Gadol will come to eat from the Karbonis. On this, the Gemara asks that either way he's not in Einin because he was Megar Shara Tanai. If she ends up dying, it turns out that she was already niskarish beforehand. So therefore, he's not an Einan. And what was the Gemara's Havamina that he shouldn't be able to do the Avodah because he's an Einan? He's not an Einan. She's already migrashis. On that, the Gemara answers, it's Rudei Miloi Mitrad, meaning her Misa will cause the Kohen Gadol a Tirda. And Rashi explains, if he's Torah, he cannot eat from the Karbonis. Why not? Rashi says, Be'inan Simcha Ugdula, Diksiv Lacha Nasatim Lemoshcha, Kederech Shaham Malachim Oichlin. Karbonis have to be eaten the way a melech eats. So if he's torod, he's not roy to eat from the kodshim. And that was the Gemara's havmina to ask, we should not allow him to do avodah, according to Yehuda, because we should be choshesh shall come to eat from the kodshim, and not eat it b'derech a melech, not eat it b'derech l'moshcha. Now the Tosfos Yeshanim and the Tosfos Rosh quote Rashi's pshat, and they ask a number of kashas on Rashi. First of all, they ask, we don't find anywhere that the din l'moshcha is mechayv to eat it b'simcha. The only place we find is the Gemara in Chulin that says that it's Nechal Tzli Ubechardel. The Mashcha tells us that the Basar should be prepared to be eaten in the way that a Melech eats it. But we don't find anywhere that the Basar has to be eaten in a certain state of mind like a Melech. And furthermore, they ask, El Me'ata Tova Sfinosei Bayam Hochanami. Are we going to say that if the Kohen Gadol, his boat drowned and he has a tirda on his mind about the loss of property, are we going to say there also he's not right to eat kodshim? We don't find such a din. So therefore, the Tosfos HaRosh and the Tosfos Yeshanim argue, and they learn a different pshat in the sugya. They learn that the Gemara asked, Ki agavnu michayla olei aninos, even if it would be shaykh to make a gzeirah on Yom Kippur, that even though no one else is eating, we should still be choshesh that the Kohen Gadol might come to eat from the karbonis, if he's makir of them. On that, the Gemara asks, either way, he's not an einin, what should be the chashash? And the Gemara answers, no, he should be choshesh, he might come to eat on Yom Kippur. The chashash is not that he might come to eat ba'aninus, because Einech Hanami is not an einon, his wife was already migureshes, and there's no such a din that he can't eat basar kodshim when he's torod, not like Rashi, but the chashash is he might come to eat on Yom Kippur. Since he's torod and his mind is distracted, he might forget and come to eat on Yom Kippur. And therefore the Gemara had to answer, since no one else is eating either, therefore there's no such a chashash that he'll come to eat also. Now, at first glance, it would seem that the whole machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos, is just how to read the last line of the Gemara. Rashi learns when it says, Itzru de miloi mitrid, the Gemara is mechadish, that a Kohen Gadol cannot eat from kodshim even if he's not an oinon, even if he's only torod, that's also a reason why he cannot eat from basar kodshim. And according to Tosfos, the Gemara means to be mechadish, that the chashash is he might come to eat on Yom Kippur. However, we'll see that the Shar HaMelech learns that according to Tosfos, the whole Shakel Vatari of the Gemara is different. The Shar HaMelech is referring to a Chiddush in the Mishnah LeMelech, Hilchas Ovel Per Gimel Halacha Yud, who discusses over there on what the Rambam says, the Rambam Paskins, that a Nasi Shemes Hakol Metamen Olov, Afilu Kayanim, that when a Nasi dies, everyone is Metamet to the Nasi, even Kayanim. And the Rambam continues, Vakol Oininin Molov, everyone has a din of an Oinon the day when a Nasi dies. And the Mishnah Melech quotes a Yushalmi, this is also quoted in Tosfos in Chagiga Yudzayin Amaral of Dibra Maschol Af Batzeres. The Yushalmi says that the day Dovra Melech died was Shvuas. And the Yerushalmi says that all of Klal Yisrael had a din of an oinon. Since the Melech died, they also had a din of an oinon. And therefore, none of Klal Yisrael brought their karbonis, the regular karbonis which were brought on Yontif. And all of the karbonis were pushed off. They had to bring Tashlumin the next day, the Oilus Re'iyah and the Shalmi Chagigah. And the Mishnah Lamelech is Merich on this Yerushalmi. He asks a number of kashas. One of the kashas he asks is that we know that David HaMelech was Nifter on Shabbos. And on Shabbos anyways, they could not have brought their karbonis of the Yontif. And he asks another kasha, he asks that on Yontif the din is that Aninus is not Chal on Yontif. So even though David HaMelech died on Shavuos, how could we say that all of Klal Yisrael had a din of an Oinon, Aninus and Avelus is not Chal on a Regel? That's the din Lagabi a Karayv, and therefore the Mishnah Melech says, Koshkein Lagabi a Nossi, or a Melech, definitely Aninus and Avelus is not Chal by Regel. And the Mishnah Melech says two things. First of all, he says, that which we say Aninus and Avelus are not Chal beregel, that is not true, Lagabi the din Oinon, which is mentioned in the Torah. The din that an Oinon cannot do Avodah, and that he's Osir Ba'achilas Kodshim, that is Chal even beregel. That which we say that Aninus and Avelus is not Chal beyontif, that's Lagabi the din der Abonon, that an Oinon cannot eat Osir Vayayin, and that he's Potter Mikol HaMitzvahis, that is not Chal on a regel. And therefore, even though David HaMelech died on Shavuos, which is a regel, nevertheless, Klal Yisrael were not able to be makir of karbonis. And secondly, the Mishnah Melech says, even if they would not have a din of an oinon, but since they were torod, that's also a reason why they cannot be makir of karbonis and eat them. And therefore, they had to be bring the karbonis the next day. And the Mishnah HaMelech says that both of these yesodis are mavur and arasugya. Firstly, that which we said, that Aninus Lagabe Achilas Kochim is Chal even Beregel, the Mishnah Melech says we see that from our Sugya. Because the Gemara asked originally that we should not allow the Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah because he might come to eat from the Basar Kochim. And the Gemara answered, no, that since everyone else is also fasting, there's no Chash. And on that, the Gemara asked, anyways, he's not an Oinon because she's Migureshes. Now, why didn't the Gemara also ask that he's not an Oinon because it's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is also a regel, and Aninus is not Chal beregel. It's clear from the Gemara that Aninus legabe isra chilas kochim, that would be Chal even on a regel, even on Yom Kippur. And therefore the Gemara only asked a different kasha, that he's not an oinon because she's already migureshes. And secondly, the Mishnah Melech says that in the maskana of the Gemara, after the Gemara concludes that enechanami, he's not an oinon, but nevertheless he can't eat kochim because he's torud, so you see from here Yisoid, the second Yisoid, that even someone who's not an oinon, but if they have the tirda because of the nifter, that's also a reason why they can't eat from the kochim. Now the Shar HaMelech in Perek Gimel Maisa Karbonis Elocha Yud Gimel quotes this Mishnah HaMelech, and he says that both of these yesoides are only true according to Shitas Rashi in our sugya. The second yesoid, that tirda is the reason why one is osur b'achilas kochim, that's only according to Rashi. Rashi learns the tirda is that the Kohen Gadol, even though he's not an oinon, but he's osur b'achilas kochim because it has to be eaten b'simcha. That, according to the Tosfos Rishonim, is not true. There's no such a din. And when the Gemara says that there's tirda, the Gemara means to say, therefore we should be choshish, he might come to eat on Yom Kippur. But there's no such a klal that one cannot eat kochim if he's not b'simcha. And the first yesoid, the Shah HaMelech says, there's also no such makar according to the Tosfos Rishonim. Because he learns that according to Tosfos Rishonim, the original kasha of the Gemara that asked on Rava who said that a Kohen Gadol cannot do avodah when he's an oinon because he might come to eat from the karbonis, how does that fit with Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah who holds that the Kohen Gadol can't do the avodah even though his wife died? The Gemara does not mean to say that he shouldn't be able to do avodah on Yom Kippur because he's an oinon. Perhaps the Gemara knew all along that since she died on Yom Kippurim is a regel and therefore the Kohen Gadol is not an oinon. The Gemara all along meant to ask that the same way that an oinon were choshish he might come to eat karbonis because he's tarred in his aninos, so therefore we should not allow him to do avodah because he might be distracted and come to eat, the same din should also tell us that a Kohen Gadol who's tarred on Yom Kippurim, we should not allow him to do the avodah because he might come to eat on Yom Kippurim. So the Gemara knew the whole time that the problem, what we're choshish for, is that he might come to eat on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara was comparing the same way tirda can cause the Kohen Gadol to eat even though he's an oinon, it can also cause him to eat even though it's Yom Kippurim. But not that he's an oinon. We knew all along that he's not an oinon because his wife died on the regel and the aninus is not chal. And on that the Gemara answered, there's no chash shall eat because no one else is eating anyhow. On that the Gemara said, what do you mean? What was the havmir to compare the two? Either way, the aninus is not chal because she was already miskareshes. The Shaar HaMelech explains the Gemara means to ask that Bishlama, if the reason he's not an oinon is because it's beregel, so that we understand that there's definitely tirda. The fact that aninus is not chal beregel, the dine aninus are not chal, but it's poshut that he has the tirda of his wife dying, that could cause him to eat from the karbonis. But the Gemara asks, if she's already miskareshes, he's b'chal not an oinon, his wife didn't even die, what could be the problem? On that, the Gemara explains, no, even though she's not actually his wife at the time, but he definitely has the tirda, just as much as anyone else's wife would have died. And therefore, if Adar Bar Hava had a good question, what's the difference? Why over here as well, according to Yehuda, shouldn't we tell the Kohen Gadol he can't do the Avodah, he might come to eat on Yom HaKippurim? And that the Gemara answered, since no one else is eating, there's no chash that the Kohen Gadol himself will eat. So according to this, the Shaar HaMelech concludes that there's really two nafkaminas between Rashi and Tosfos. One nafkamina, is there such a din that someone who's not besimcha cannot eat from the karbonis? Is that included in the din of the moshcha that one has to be besimcha when he eats from the karbonis? According to Rashi, Ersig is mevur that someone who's tarud cannot eat from the kachim. According to Tosfos, there's no such a din. And the second nafkamina is that according to Rashi, we see from Er Sugya, like the Mishnah Melech points out, that even on a regel, aninus legabe isra achilas kodshim is chal. Because the Gemara never asked that the aninus shouldn't be chal because it's Yom Kippur. The Gemara only was bothered by this, there should be no aninus because he already was megarasher. But the fact that it's Yom Kippur, that we understood the whole time, that was poshut that aninus is chal. According to the Tosfos Hashanim, the Shaar HaMelech says there's no such right to this Yisoid. The Tosfos Hashanim can hold that aninus legabe achilas kachim is also not chal beregel. Now one more nakuda on this sugya. The Cheshik Shleim is bothered by what exactly is this chash that the kohen is going to come to eat from the karbonis. Rav of the karbonis that were brought on Yom Kippur were oilis. And even the parachatos and the sirachatos, they were nisraf b'chutz l'machane. There was nothing that was eaten. They were entirely burnt. The only carbon that which was eaten was the chatos achitzoino. That was nechal le'erev. And even that, the Cheshuk Shlema asks, what's the chash that it will be eaten? He says, adayin chayhu. It was raw. It cannot have been cooked on Yom Kippurim. What's the chash that the Kohen Gadol will eat it? And therefore he wants to be mechadish that the chash really is in a case when Yom Kippur comes in on Shabbos, there's a chash that the Kohen Gadol might come to eat from the lechem upon him. After the Kohen Gadol has makter the bezichin, the two spoonfuls of k'tayres, which were removed from the shulchan every Shabbos and brought on the mizbeach, after that, the lechem upon him becomes mutter to eat, and we're choshish that the Kohen Gadol might come to eat from the lechem upon him on Yom Kippurim. And this Derech Agav leads us to a discussion that the Migdash Dovid has, Simen Chav Beis, Sif Katan Beis, whether the Kohen Gadol has to actually do the Avodah of being Mesader the Shulchan and being Makter the Bezichin if Yom Kippurim comes out on Shabbos. And he quotes from the Piyut, Ata Koinanto, it says over there that when Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, the Kohen Gadol is Mesader the Shulchan and he's Makter the Bezichin. The Mikdash David says that the Silik HaLechem, taking off the Lechem, which was done every Shabbos, that is definitely not an Avodah Bechlal. That does not need a Kohen Gadol. However, the Silik HaBezichin, taking off the Ktoris, was similar to a Kmitza. That had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. As well as the Sidur HaBezichin and the Sidur HaLechem, putting on the new Ktoris and the new Lechem for the week, that all was an Avodah, and had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. And the Mikdash David is bothered by a few technical difficulties with this. Firstly, he asks, the din is that the Shulchan had to constantly have the Lechem and the Bezichin. The Pasuk says it has to be Tomid. And therefore, if we're assuming that the removal of the Bezichin had to be done by the Kohen Gadol, and the putting on the new Bezichin had to be done by the Kohen Gadol, how can it possibly have been done at the same time? It's physically impossible. And furthermore, he asks, the din is that all Avodah has to be done using the Kohen's right hand. Avodah needs Yamin. And therefore, in general, the way the Silik HaBezichin, or the Sidur HaBezichin, or the Sidur HaLechem Aponim, that was always done with two Kohanim. It needed Dafka two Kohanim so that each one can use their right hand. And therefore, if we're going to assume that the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim had to do all the Avodis, including putting on the new Bezichin and removing it, how could he possibly have done both of them at the same time? He could only use one hand, he could only use his Yad Yamin. And therefore, the Mikdash David is bothered by how the Kohen Gadol can possibly do these avodas when Yom Kippurim comes out on Shabbos. But Al Kopanim in Yoneinu, Mecheshek Shleim understands that's the Chashash in Har Sugyo, that's what we're concerned about, that the Kohen Gadol, when he's doing the avodah of Silik Bezichin, he might come to eat from the Lechem upon him. Now the Mishnah brings Kol Shivas Yomim, Huzerik Es Adam, Makter Es Akteres, Meitiv Es Aneiros. The Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol does avodah during the 7 days of Prisha to practice and being margal himself to do the avodah. On that, the Gemara says, "Man Tano, Amar Reb Chizda Dloiker Reb Akiva." This Mishnah cannot fit with Shitas Reb Akiva. The Reb Akiva Ha Amar Tor Shenofla Alav Hazah Tomosai. Shitas Reb Akiva is that if we're maze meichatas onto someone who's tor, that will make him tamei. And therefore, since the Kohen Gadol had hazois all 7 days, like we saw earlier, therefore he should not be able to do the avoda because pashas he was tor. And if he's tar and he had hazois, that makes him tamei. And if so, he's not ready to do the avoda. He has to wait till the night. He has to be toivol and have hair of shemesh. And therefore, each day he becomes tamei and not ready to do avoda. Now the Rimul Neil, he points out that our whole sugya is going according to Shitas Reish Lakish, that the din prisha of Zayin Yomim is learned from Sinai, and according to Reish Lakish, the din that he had hazois. The Gemara says earlier on Dav Dalet Amud Aleph that it was Mishum Maila, an extra chumrah before Yom Kippur to make sure the Kohen Gadol is not tamei. However, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Rimul Neil says, who learns the din prisha from Miluim, there the hazois were not Mishum Tumah Bechlal. Rather, it's Xeris Akosov, the same way there hazois by the Miluim, also the Kohen Gadol during the days of prisha needs hazois. And like the Gemara says, Nichnas Mayim Tachas Dam. And therefore, the Rimul Neil says that since these hazois were nothing to do with tumah, they were not because of achshash tumah, they were stam gzeres hakosov. On these hazois would not apply the din that if you're maza on a tar, he becomes tamei. That's only when you're maza on someone in order to try to be metayer him. So if he was really tar, then the mechatos is metame him. But if you're maza on someone, the mechatos for a different purpose, nothing to do with tumah, because there's gzeres hakosov that you're supposed to be maza on him, just like by miluim. On that, there's no din that the hazois will be metamehim. And this Rimul Neil is l'shitasoy to what we saw earlier on Daf Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara over there is discussing why do we have to have hazois all 7 days. The Gemara says, Bishlama Rishon Shema Shlishi. The Gemara goes through all the days why it's possible that they're the 3rd day of Tumah or the 7th day of Tumah, and that would require hazah. The Gemara clearly is going that the hazois are Mishum Tumah. And the Rimul Neil says that sugya is going according to Reish Lakish. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Kohen Gadol needs hazois all 7 days of Prisha, just like by Miluim, there were 7 days of hazois, and it has nothing to do with Tumah. And therefore, the Rimul Neil and Arsiga says as well that these hazois will not be metama the Kohen Gadol, because these hazois were not Mishum Tumah. Now, the Tosfos Hashonim in Arsiga, Divar Maschil D'ir Rabbi Kiva, he quotes a kasha b'shem Rabbeinu Elchanan, and the kasha is, Dil Matana Didon Lesle Hazoa Kol Shiva. Who said Er Tana holds that there were hazois on the Kohen Gadol for the Shiva Simei Prisha? This is not a mission anywhere. It's a Braisa on Dav Dawid and Dav Ches. Maybe Er Tana is not maskim to that, and therefore the Kohen Gadol can do the avodah because he did not have hazois at all. Now the Tosfos Arosh and the Ritva, they ask a similar kasha and they explain a little more. They explain that the Gemara earlier on Dav Ches Amud Aleph said that if you hold like the man the Omer Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, then there were no hazois bechlal. And therefore, they ask, maybe Er Tana holds Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, and Er Tana does not hold that there were hazois in the Kohen Gadol, and that's why he can do the avodah. So why is our Gemara say that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Kiva, say that it could go like Rebbe Kiva, and there were no hazois in the Kohen Gadol, that's why he could do avodah. And the Tosfos Rosh says that the kasha is still shver on the Braisa on Dav Dalet Amud Aleph. The Braisa which the Gemara said is Tanya Kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan, the Braisa that says Mefurish like Rabbi Yochanan, that the Din Prisha was learned out of Miluim. It says over there clearly that they were mechanech the Kohen Gadol ba'avodah. The Kohen Gadol did avodah during the Shiva Simei Prisha, and it also says that they were mazin alav kol shiva, that there were hazois on the Kohen Gadol during the days of Prisha. On this, it would be shver that this should not go like Rabbi Kiva, because if they're doing hazois on the Kohen Gadol, then according to Rabbi Kiva, the hazois will make him tamei, and he should not be right to do the avodah. So how can the Braisa at the same time hold that there were hazois and that the Kohen Gadol did avodah? That cannot fit with Rabbi Kiva. Now this Tosfos HaRosh is clearly not like the Rimi Luniel. The Tosfos HaRosh brings this Braisa who says that the Din Prishas learned from Miluim, and according to the Rimi Luniel, Leman the Omer that's learned from Miluim, then the Hazois either way are not Metamehim, because the Hazois were not Mishum Tumah. The Tosfos HaRosh is bringing the Braisa that holds that the Prisha was Mishum Miluim, and still the Gemara was bothered by that the Hazois should be Metamehim. Now we can explain this two ways. First of all, we can explain that perhaps, according to the Tosfos HaRosh, he argues on the whole yesod of the Rimi Luniel, and even Hazois that are not Mishum Tumah. If Lamaisa, the Meichatas, touched someone who was Tahar, that's enough to be Metamehim, even if they were being Maza on him for a different purpose. And secondly, we could explain that the Tosfos HaRosh fits Lishitasai. The Tosfos HaRosh on Daf Dalet says clearly that even according to the Manda Omer, that Prisha is learned from Miluim, but the Hazois of Prisha are not the same Hazois as the Miluim. By Miluim, they were Gderes HaKosov, and by the Prisha L'Doreis, they were Shem Tumah. And he explains, when the Gemara says, Nichnas Mayim Tachas Dam, the Gemara means to say that we find the concept of Hazah by both of them. But Ein Echanami, they were a different Yisoid, the Hazah was for a different purpose. And therefore, according to the Tosfos HaRosh, the Gemara would have a good Kasha, even if he'll agree to the Yisoid of the Rimi L'Niel, that only Hazois that are Mishum Tumah are Metam is someone who's Tahar, but still, according to the Tosfos HaRosh, the Hazois of the Kohen Gadol during the days of Prisha, they were Mishum Tumah. They are different than the Hazois of Miluim, and therefore the Gemara has a good kasha that these Hazois should be Metamehim, and he should not be right to do Avodah according to Rebbe Kiva. Now we have a machlokes Rebbe Kiva and the Chachomim in the Braisa had a darshan this pasuk v'hiza hatar al atomei. The Chachomim darshan ein advarim amurim elo bedvarim hamekablim tumo, meaning that something is only considered Hazah if it was huza on something which is mekabel tumo. And the Gemara goes on to bring a Mishnah in Para, and there's Machlokes in the Rishonim, what's the Girsa in the Mishnah, and what's the Pshat in the Mishnah. So we'll start with Shitas Rashi. Rashi's Girsa is like the Girsa that we have Bifoneinu. Neskaven l'hazeis ala behima v'hiza ala odom im yesh be'ezoiv yishne. Neskaven l'hazeis ala odom v'hiza ala behima im yesh be'ezoiv lo yishne. And the Shaila is that there's Meichat is left on the Ezoiv after the first Hazah. Is the Meichatas that's left still kosher for a second Hazah? And the din is that if the first Hazah, he was Miskavon l'Hazeis al Behimo, v'hiza ala Adam, so the actual Hazah l'maisa was done on Adam, there the din is that you can still use the leftover Meichatas on the Ezoiv for a second Hazah. And the nidin is, do we say that since the first Hazah was not a kosher Hazah, is that considered that a Malacha was done with Meichatas? And if a malacha was done with it, so the remaining meichatas on the ezoiv will not be kosher for a second hazah. And Rashi holds that the determining factor to decide whether this maisa is considered a maisa hazah or a maisa malacha, which will passel, is not what the kavana was, rather where the hazah ended up. And since the maisa, in the first case of the Mishnah, the hazah ended up on a person, not on a behema, so that's considered a hazah, not a malacha, so the remaining meichatos is not nifsal. Whereas in the second case of the Mishnah, when he was miskavin, l'hazeis ala odom v'hiza ala behema, since the maisa, the hazah, ended up on a behema, and a behema is something which is not mekabel tumah, it's not considered a hazah bechlal, then therefore it's considered a malacha, which will pass by meichatos, and the remaining mechatas left on the ezoiv is not kosher for a second hazah. So that's where the drosh is negeya, ein advarim amurim elo bedvarim hamekablim tumah. The Gemara means to say that there's a din, that hazah on something which is not mekabel tumah is not hazah bechlal. And according to Rashi, this means to say that if, for example, a hazah ended up on a behema, it's not hazah bechlal, it's a melocha, and that will passel the remaining mechatas. Now we should stress that according to Rashi, there's an interesting chiddush here, that even though the kavana is the cause that the hazah, which he was mechaven to do on a behema and ended up on a person, is not a good hazah, like gabi the hechsher hazah, to be metar the person, nevertheless, when we consider whether this hazah has a din of a malacha or not, then the determining factor is not the kavana, rather it's where the hazah ended up, bepoyo. Now the Tosfos HaShanim over here, as well as the Tosfos HaRosh, they ask a kasha on Rashi, v'shem Rav Aryeh, that the psul malacha by Parah Aduma, the Mishnah in Parah says, is only up until the point when the Efer is mixed with the Mayim. Afterwards, there no longer is a psul malacha. So how could Rashi over here learn that the Hazah, which was ended up on a behemoth, passes the remaining Meichatos because of Melacha? At this point already, once the Meichatos consists already of both the Efer and the Maim, it was already mixed together, there is no Psal anymore of Melacha. And they quote a Sefri, which makes this drasha from the Pasuk. It says, L'mishmeres l'meinida, yotsu elu shem kvar yimeinida. The whole din mishmeres, which tells us that we cannot have malacha, that's only up until the point when it already becomes a meinida. So how could Rashi say that there's a psalm malacha over here? And the Tosfos Hashanim says, maybe Rashi just means that there's a psalm midarabanan. The truth is, this is really shver that we should be referring to a psalm derabanan, because the whole point of the Gemara over here is to explain the Pasuk, v'hiza ahatar alatomei, which the Chachamim explain it means, Eina Dvar Marmurim, El Badvar Mamakablim Toma. According to the Chachamim, we're trying to make a drasha from this Pasuk, that Hazah, on something which is not Mekabal Toma, is not Hazah Bechlal. And the Gemara brings a Nafkamina from the Mishnah in Para. And therefore it would seem to be shver that the whole Mishnah is only a Din Darabonon. Now the Tosfos Hashanim brings another chat, B'Shem Rabbeinu Chananel, and he had a gears to the opposite. Neskavim Lahazes Ala Behimo, V'hiza Ala Odom Lo Yishne. And the Rebbeinu Chananel learns that the Nidin over here is not the Pasul b'melocha like Rashi, rather a Hazah on a Behemah, which is something which is not Mekabel Tomah, is not considered a Hazah, and therefore the Kain that does it will become Tomei Midin Noisei. He's carrying the Meichatos and he's carrying it in a way which is not Hazah. And therefore the Kohen is Tomei, and then the Meichatos as well becomes Tomei, because once the Kohen, whose Tomei is Isaac with it, therefore it passes the Meichatos as well. Now according to Rebbeinu Chananel, the determining factor, whether this is considered a Hazah, or it's not Hazah, and therefore the Kohen is Tomei Midin Noisei, is not where the Hazah ends up, like Rashi, rather what was his original Kavana. And therefore, according to Rebbeinu Chananel, the Mishnah reads like this: Niskavim Hazay Sal Behemo V'Hizal Adam Lo Yishne. He cannot repeat and do the Hazah over, because since the original Kavana was to be Mazah on a Behemo, the Kohen becomes Tomei Midin Noisei. He's carrying the Meichatos not for the purpose of Hazah. And once he's Tomei, the Meichatos on the Eziv also is possible. And therefore, he cannot repeat and do over a second Hazah. Since the original Kavana was to do something which is a valid Hazah, so the Kohen is not considered a Noisei and he does not pass all the Meichatos, and therefore he can repeat and do over a second Hazah on the person. So it seems that there's two points where Rashi and Rebbeinu Chananel argue. According to Rashi, the Nidin of the Mishnah is whether the remaining Meichatos is possible Mishum Melocha. As opposed to Rebbeinu Chananel, the shaila is that the Kohen should be considered a Noisei, and since he's Oisik with the rest of the Meichatos, it passes the rest of the Meichatos on the Ezoiv. And secondly, according to Rashi, the Koveya is where the Hazah Lameisa ended up. That's what determines whether it's a Hazah or not. As opposed to the other Rishonim, it's telling the Kavana, that's what's Koveya, whether it's a Hazah or he's considered a Noisei. Now the Stipler, here in Yuma, Simin Vov, he has a piece to answer Shitas Rashi from Tosfos' Kasha. There seems to be Mefurash Mishnah in Para that says that Melacha does not passel Meichatos after already was Niskadish. And how could Rashi learn the Sugya that the Psoz Midin Melacha? And he says a Yisoid that there's two types of Melacha which we find passel by Para Aduma. There's one din that the person who's Oisik in the Meichatos, even if he does not do a Melacha with the Meichatos itself, but if while he's being Isaac, for example, the Mishnah says, if while he's filling up the Meichatos, he's doing a Malacha at the same time with the other hand, or while he's being Melech the Maim, he's bringing it from one place to another place, at the same time he's being Isaac in another Malacha, so even though no Malacha was done with the actual Maim, nevertheless that also passes the Meichatos. And this, the Stipler says, is actually a machlekes, the Rambam and the Raivin in the beginning of the 7th parak of Parah. The Rambam says that in this case, the melacha mitzad atzma is the psul, even though the melacha is not in the meichatos, but the melacha that's done at the same time passes the meichatos. And the Raivin says this is a different geder, this is a psul midin hesach hadas, that if he's doing another melacha at the same time he's being oisik in the Parah, so he's not totally focused on the Parah, that passes midin hesach hadas. Now there's a second din, the Stipler says, that's when the melacha is done with the mayim itself. And this, he quotes, the Ravid himself differentiates, and the Ravid says, this is a different gather. The Ravid compares this to the din, if the para itself does melacha, that passes the para aduma, And the same thing is if you do malacha with the mayim itself, that also is a psol, and this is not midin esach hadas. This is midin malacha. And therefore the stiper says there's two different dinim. He brings a right to this from the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Gimel as well. The Gemara over there has an example where the mechatas itself was used to do the malacha, where a person put something inside the kli of the mechatas to see how much the water level goes up. That's a case where the mechatas itself is used to do malacha. And therefore the stipler says that that which Rashi holds in Eretz Sugya, that the malacha will passel even after its niskadish, and Rishonim asks from the Mishnah and Para, the stipler says that Rashi holds there's a chilek between these two types of malachas. Malacha that's done at the same time you're being oisik in the Para, that's what the Mishnah is referring to, that only passels up until the point when the Eifer was niskadish with the Mayim. But malacha which was done with the Mechatas itself, like an Eretz Sugya, he used the Mechatas to be mazeh on a Para, that's not Hazah Bechlal, and that's considered a Malacha, there the din is that even after it's Niskadish, there also will be a Psul Malacha. And the stipler brings the Shaar HaMelech in the end of Hilchas Chayvul Umazik, B'Shem the Me'iri, who says the same Yisayid, that the din, that Malacha does not passel after the Mayim is Niskadish, that's only Legabe, a Malacha which was done while he's being Isaac in the Mechatas. But a Malacha which is done with the Mechatas itself, that will passel even after the Kiddush Kli. And the stiper says that Al-Karchach Toisvis, who asked the Kasha Rashi, he holds not like this Yisayid. He holds that even Malacha which was done with the Mechatas itself, won't passel after the Kiddush Kli. Now we had so far two Mahalchim in the Pshat and the Mishnah in Parah, Rashi's Pshat and Rabbeinu Hananel's Pshat. According to both of these Mahalchim, Lo Yishne in the Mishnah meant, can the Kohen use the remaining Mechatas on the Ezoiv for a second Hazar or not? Is there a problem that it's possible Mishnah Malacha, or it's possible because the Kohen who was a Noisei passeled it? There's another Mahalach in the Sugya. The Rambam and the Bartanura in the Pirish Mishnayis in Parah, they learn a whole different Pshat in the Sugya. And according to them, Yishne and Lo Yishne has a whole different meaning. The shaila is the first tefillah, the din is that you have to be toivel the ezoiv in the mechatos, and the question is the first tefillah a good tefillah to be used for another hazah, or is it not a good tefillah? Yishne would mean that he has to redo the tefillah. The first tefillah was not a good tefillah, and if he wants to do another hazah, he has to redo the tefillah, and lo yishne means he does not have to redo the tefillah. And the girsa they have is like the girsa that we have in the sugya, like Rashi's girsa, meaning to say that if the original tvila was to do hazah on a behema, yishne, the tvila has to be redone. That's not a good tvila. A tvila that was done al das to be mazah on a behema is a possible tvila, and the tvila has to be redone. Whereas the other way around, neskaven lahazis ala adam v'hiz ala behema, so he can still use that first tvila, which was a kosher tvila, because it was intended to be mazah on adam, he could use that same tvila to do another hazah later on the person. Now, according to these rishonim, what the chachamim in Eretz Sugya are saying, ein advar mamurim el advar hamikavlim tumo, that a hazah is only on something which is mikavl tumo. So according to these rishonim, the Gemara means to say that therefore the Mishnah holds that a tvila which was intended to be mazeh on a behema is not a good tvila bechlal, and the tvila will have to be redone because it was a tvila for something which had no shem hazah bechlal. Now at the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara brings the memra that the mazeh and the mazin are tahar and the negeya is tamei. The Gemara continues that even though the pasuk says umazeh may neither gechabis begodov, mazeh in that pasuk is referring to the noisei. And the din is that the noisei, in order to become tamei, is only if he carries the shir hazah. Now the Tosfos Hashanah brings Mishnah and Kalim that legabi a negeya b'mechatos is tamei even b'kol shehu. So it comes out that a noisei, he needs dafka shir, and there the din is that he even his begotten become tamei, and negeya is even b'kol shehu, there his begotten do not become tamei. Now the Gvursari over here asks Sakasha, once we know that the din is that negeya is tamei even b'kol shehu, what is the pshat in the shita's chachamim that argue in Rabbi Kiva, and they hold that if you're mazah on a tahar, he does not become tamei? How can he not become tamei? Even if the chachamim don't agree to Rabbi Kiva's drasha, Rabbi Kiva darshan v'hiza ha'tar ala tamei tahar v'ala tahar tamei, but even without that, according to the chachamim also he should become tamei because he's a negeya. How can he be better than anyone who's negeya? And negeya is even b'kol shehu. And the din is that when you're mazah on someone, he has to touch his guf, it can't touch his begotim, it has to touch his basar. So every hazor touched a person somewhere on his guf, so that should be metame him midin regeya. How can the Chacham argue and say that he's tar? And furthermore, our whole sugya is trying to say that according to the Chachamim, it's not sure how the Kohen Gadol could do avoida, because according to the Chacham, he doesn't become tamei with the hazois. Why is he not tamei al yedei the din of nigeya? And the Gversari leaves off with the kasha. He doesn't have a teretz to his kasha. Now the Maisa, one of the Rishonim, already asks this kasha. The Tosfos Ri Halavan asks, why according to the Chachamim is he not tamei? Why is he any different than a nigeya? And he gives two terutzim. The first terutz he says is that the same taina the Chacham told Rabbi Kiva that it's a kal v'chomer. How is it shaykh im alatomei tahar, alatahar like koshkein? That's the reason why the Chacham did not agree to the drosha of Rabbi Kiva, because it's not shaykh that hazah on someone whose tamei makes him tahar, and hazah on someone whose tahar makes him tamei. And therefore they did not agree to the drosha of Rabbi Kiva. So the Tosfos Ri Halavan says that kal v'chomer tells us that any time the Meichatas touches someone when it's derech hazah, it's not stam falling on him. It reached him a yedei a maisa hazah that cannot be metamehim. That's included in the kal v'chomer. The kal v'chomer says that hazah cannot possibly be metameh someone who's tahar. So there's a difference between how the Meichatas touched him. If he put his finger into the Meichatas or the Meichatas fell onto him, that will be metamehim within the giyah. But if it reached him derech a maisa hazah, that the kavachemer tells us that a hazah can't possibly be metamehim. In other words, it's not metamehim midin negiyah either. That's the first teretz of the Ri Halavan. And he says the second teretz, that when you're mazah the mechatas onto a person, that's called that it's nasez mitzvasei. The mitzvah that's intended with it, that it's supposed to be huzah onto a person, is done with already. And he quotes the Mishnah in Para that says that after the mechatas is already nasez mitzvasei, it already was sprinkled onto someone who's tamei, and therefore it's no longer right to be used again. That's called nasis mitzvasi, and it no longer has the din that it's matame anymore. And that's the pshat in our sugya. That's why, according to the Chachamim, if you're maza onto a tar, it's not matamehim, not with the din nageya either, because as soon as you're maza onto him, it already is nasis mitzvasi. Now there's a chiddush over here that even though the maisa this mechatos was used to sprinkle on someone who's tar. So it never really was used to accomplish its purpose. It never was matar anybody. Nevertheless, the Ri Halavan says, this will be called nasis mitzvasei. Just the fact that there was a hazah done with it, that's enough to be called nasis mitzvasei, and it will no longer have the din that it's matame anymore. Now the Gemara on the top of Amud Beis says the teretz to the original kasha, how our Mishnah could fit with Rabbi Kiva. And Abaye says, afilu tamei Rabbi Kiva, the ovid avoida kula yoyma, ulapanya madu alei v'tovel v'ovid her shemesh. The Gemara says a seemingly poshut teretz, that enichinam he could do avoida throughout the day, and later in the day, that's when they sprinkle on him the mechatos, and then he's tovel and he waits for her of shemesh, and then once again the next day in the morning he's able to do avoida, he already had her of shemesh. And Abaye's teretz seems so simple, to the point that the achrinim ask, what was the havmin of the Gemara? What was bothering Rav Chisda? The teretz is poshut. He could do the avodas first, and then the hazois will be later on after the avodah. So there's a few mahalchim in the achronim. Rabbi Kveger in Tshuva, Madura Tinyona, Simon Kuf Yud Dalid, he has a complicated teretz over there. And just to say over Bekitzer, he wants to say that even though the Gemara earlier on Daf Ches Amud Beis says that the hazois were not done on Shabbos, Rabbi Kveger wants to say that according to Rav Chisda, really, you were mazeh on Shabbos. Bein hashmoshes, you were able to be mazeh. And he's mayrech to explain why we allow him to do hazah bein hashmoshes on Shabbos. And he explains that's what Rav Chisda was bothered by, that the next morning on Yom Rishon, he won't be able to do the avodah, because since he had hazois bein hashmoshes, which is a sofik laila, so he does not have Herev Shemesh until the following evening. And therefore, on Sunday, he's not ready to do the avodah. And the Mishnah is mashma that all 7 days of Prisha, the Kohen could do Avodah. That does not fit with Rabbi Kiva. That was Rabbi Chisda's kasha. And Abaye held not like that. Abaye held that he could do the Hazois even on Shabbos. And therefore, on Shabbos, in the morning, he'll do the Avodahs. Afterwards, he'll have the Hazah before the nighttime. And when nighttime comes, he'll have Erev Shemesh. And he'll be able to do the Avodah again on Sunday morning. And he won't miss out any of the 7 days of doing Avodah. That's Rabbi Kveger's mahaloch. But it would seem to be a bit chaser in the Gemara. And there are other terutzim in the Achronim. The Chaznish in Simon Kuf Chavov, Ois Yedalid, says a svara that Reb Chisda was bothered by, that since the whole point we're trying to do during these 7 days is trying to make sure that Kohen Gadol stays away from Tumah, we're trying to be margal him, trying to get him used to doing Avodah B'Tahira, he says it's not mistaber that every day we're going to go and be metame him and be soimech that the next day he's going to do the Avodah after already becoming Tahar. If anything, we would rather be margal the Kohen Gadol to stay away from doing Avodah when he's Tameh. And therefore, if we're going to go every day and be metame him, if anything fakert, we would tell him not to do the Avodah during these 7 days, to teach him to stay away from doing Avodah when he's Tameh. And therefore, the Gemara held it's not mistaber that according to Rabbi Akiva that he's becoming Tameh every day, that he should do Avodah during these 7 days. Now, the Netziv in the Meroi Meisodah says another Mahalach, that Reb Chisda held, since we learn out the Hazois from Miluim, we're masmech the Hazois of the 7 days of Prisha to the Hazois that were done by Miluim. And just like by the Miluim, the Hazois on Aaron Ubanov were done in the morning when they brought the first Karbonis, the same thing would be that during the days of Prisha, the Kohen Gadol should need the Hazois in the morning. And therefore we can't possibly wait till after he finishes all the Avodas of the day to afterwards go and give them the Hazoh. That's what Rabbi Chisda held. And that Abai answered, no, that Ein Echanami, the only Eitzah is to do the Hazois after he already finishes doing all the Avodos of the day. Now the Gemara in Amud Beis discusses the Seder of the Keteris in the Neiris. The Gemara asks Astira, Amish is Mashma, that the Keteris comes before the Neiris. It says, Makteris Akteris Umetivus and Neiris. And the Mishnah in Talmud says, first discusses Misha Zocha B'Mineira, then afterwards Misha Zocha B'Keteris. It's Mashma that the Hatovas and Neiris was before the Keteris. And that the Gemara says, Ein Echanami, Er Sugyo does not fit with the Sugyo in Tamid. Er Sugyo holds like Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, who argues on the Mishnayis in Tamid. And then the Gemara asks another Stira between the Mishnayis and Yuma. The Mishnah later on in the second parak says that part of the Pais HaSheni was who Zeichet to be Metiv the Neiris, and the Pais HaShlishi was for who Zeichet to the Keteris. It's Mashma that the Neiris were before the Keteris. How does that fit with our Mishnah that says, Makter Sekteris, Umetiv Asaneris? And that Abaya answers, Kan Batovas Shteineris, Kan Batovas Chomesh Neris. Our Mishnah is referring to the Shteineris, that was after the Keteris. And the Mishnah later on is referring to the Chomesh Neris, that was before the Keteris. Now further down the Amud, the Gemara brings the Machloikis Rachom and Abashol. And like Rashi explains, that Lekuli Alma, there had to have been a Hefsik between the Chomesh Neris and the Shteineris. And furthermore, Rashi explains that definitely the Haktoris came after the Tamid. The Tamid had to be the first carbon of the day. And there's Machloikis the Chachamim and Abashol, what was Mafsik between the Chomesh Neiris and the Shtei Neiris? Abashol held that you're Mafsik with the Akrovas HaTamid. That came between the Chomesh Neiris and the Shtei Neiris. And therefore, according to the Abashol, the Keteris was after all the Neiris, because the Keteris definitely had to have been after the Tamid. So if the Tamid was Mafsik between the Chomesh and the Shtayim, so the Keteris was after all the Neiris. And the Chachamim hold that you're Mafsik with the Keteris. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, the Tamid had to have been before the beginning of any Hatovas Neiris. And the Gemara explains that Machloikis is how to explain the Pasuk, Babiker, Beitiva Yasaneris Yakti Reno. According to Abashol, it means after you finish the Hatovah of all the Neiris, that's when you're Mafsik with the Keteris. And according to the Chachamim, Be'idin Hatovah Tehei Mikdar Keteris. Therefore, you're Makdeh Dekteris before you finish being Mate of the Neiris. Now, Tosfos Shoshanim Dibar Maschil Abaya Omar explains that even according to the Maskana that were Mechalik between the Chomesh Neiris and the Shtei Neiris, still the Mishnayis and Yuma cannot fit with the Mishnah and Talmud, because the Mishnah and Talmud is Mavur that even the Shtei Neiris came before the Keteris. Tosfos over here in Dibar Maschil Omar Abaya also is bothered by the same Shaila, why the Maskana can't we make our Mishnah coincide with the Mishnah and Talmud? Tosfos has a different Teretz with the Rosh Hashanah is bothered by it. We won't get into that right now, but in the end of that Tosfos, he asks a different kasha. He says, why is it that the Mishnayis and Yuma don't make any mention of the Hatovas Chomesh Neiris? According to what Er Gemara says, when their Mishnah says, Makteris Akteris, Umetivis Neiris, that's referring to the Shtei Neiris. Now what about the Chomesh Neiris? Why is it not mentioned that the Kohen Gadol does that Hatovah also during the 7 days of Prisha? And Tosfos is mechadish that Ein Echanami, there was no din that the Kohen Gadol had to be mate of the Chomesh Neiris during the days of Prisha. He quotes the Gemara later on in Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph, Eirui Ba'alma Dekamayri, which Tosfos there also learns like this as well, that it means that the Kohen Gadol did not have to do the Hatovas Chomesh Neiris during the days of Prisha. The Rosh Hashanah speaks about whether Tosfos holds that even on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does not have to do the Chomesh Neiris. And the Rishash assumes that the Pasha says that even Tosis is maskim that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does do the Chomesh Neres. Now the Gvura Sari brings this Tosis and he's very bothered by Tosis. He says, how is it possible that Tosis could say that one Avodah is divided between two Kohanim? Hatovas Neres is all one Avodah. And we never find that one Avodah is divided between two Kohanim. And furthermore, he says that later on in the second parak, when the Mishnah lists the Paisis, we find also that only one Kohen received that schos of being made to Vasaneris. It was not divided between two Kohenim. So how could Tosfos say over here that the Hatovah was divided and the Kohen Gadol only had to do the end of it? And furthermore, he asks that the beginning of the Avodah, that's the Iker. The Chomesh Neris, that's the Iker of the, that's the Tchilas Avodah, and that definitely should have to have been done by a Kohen Gadol. How could Tosfos say that that could be done by a Kohen Hedyot? And he's Meirich on this, and he says that definitely the Kohen Gadol had to be native all 7 days during the days of Frisha. And the Gemara later on, he has a different pshat, and we'll see later that other Rishonim learn that as well, that the Gemara does not mean to say that the Kohen Gadol didn't have to be native Chamesh Neris. And therefore he's bothered by what's the hak of the pshat, what's the answer to Taisus' kasha? Why does the Mishnah only mention the Hatov of the Shtei Neris? The Mishnah that says Makter Sakteris Umeitavis and Neris is referring to the last two Neris. What about the first five? Why is that not mentioned in the Mishnah? And the Gversari says that the Gemara later on, Iruya Ba'alma de Kamari, the Gemara means that we didn't get into all the details about the exact Seder and all the Pratim of the Avodah. We just mentioned which general Avodahs are done by the Kohen Gadol during the days of Frisha. So the Mishnah says, Makter Sakteris Umeitavis and Neris. The Mishnah did not get involved in the Chomesh Neris and the Shtei Neris. Al Kapalim, we have Machlaikis, Tosis, and the Gvura Sari. When the Gemara says, Makter Sakteris Umeitavis and Neris, Hatavas Neris is referring to the two, Tosis learns that those were the only two that the Kohen Gadol had to do during the days of Prisha. The other five he did not have to do Bechlau. According to the Gvura Sari, definitely the Kohen Gadol had to be mative all 7 Neris. We don't divide up the Avodah. The Kohen Gadol definitely had to do all of it. And just the Mishnah doesn't mention it because we don't get into all the details of the Hatovah.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.